1 John chapter 1, I want to ask you a question, try to get an answer this morning. Are you full of joy? Are you full of joy? We're talking about losing my religion. I want to tell you, it'd help a lot of people if they lost their religion. It would. Because religion is our attempt to get God's attention instead of Christianity, which was God coming down to man. Because religion kind of, it's a works kind of thing, and the problem with it is it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. So let's stand together. 1 John chapter 1, first four verses. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life," or Jesus. "The life appeared, we have seen it, we testify to it, we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete." Father, bless the reading of your word this morning, of the teaching of it. Holy Spirit, be our teacher and our guide now, and just guide us into truth, life-changing truth here today. It is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Joy is just one of those words that's hard to define, because it is so often associated with happiness. A lot of people think that joy and happiness are the same things, they're interchangeable. But I would suggest to you this morning that they're really two entirely different things. Because happiness is based on circumstances, while joy is based on a relationship with God. Happiness can come and go, but once a person enters into a relationship with God, it will never end, it will last for all of eternity. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Because that's a wonderful thing to know, that even though I may not be happy all the time, I can be joyful because I have God living in my life. Catherine Marshall wrote about her friend. She said, "My friend Marge had an experience aboard a plane bound for Cleveland, waiting for takeoff. As she settled into her seat, Marge noticed a strange phenomenon. On one side of the airplane, a sunset surfaced the entire sky with glorious color. But out of the window next to her seat, all she could see was a sky dark and threatening with no sign of the sunset. As the plane's engines began to roar, a gentle voice spoke within her. 'You have noticed the windows. Your life, too, will contain some happy and some beautiful times, but also some dark shadows.'" And God, it was like God was saying to her, "Here's a lesson I want to teach you to save you much heartache and allow you to abide in me with continual peace and joy." You see, it does not matter which window you look out of, the plane's going.
It was raining here, I understand, very heavy. But anyway, we're headed up the interstate. be in great shape. Well, we got back to Huntsville, even though it was sunshiny on one side, and it was pitch black on the other side. Eventually, you run out of it, you know? Isn't that an amazing thing? That's the way it is with our lives. Because sometimes we enjoy the sunshine times of life, but yet we're faced with the dark, ominous clouds of life as well. But I got great news for you. Nothing lasts forever except in relationship with God. It just doesn't. And so it's just like that lady that got in the plane and it looked
really bad on one side and really good on the other side, but yet she was willing to just trust the Lord and go with Him. Well, this is what true joy is all about. It's enjoying the beautiful sunrises and sunsets, and it's trusting God when the skies become dark and ominous, knowing that He is well aware of both situations. Joy is not based on circumstance, it's based on a relationship with God. And this is the message that John is seeking to communicate to us this morning. And so he gives us several reasons why you and I should be filled with joy. Look at them again, verses 1 and 2 is where we'll start. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we've seen it, we testify to it, we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Now, I'm convinced that there are many people who do not believe that it is possible to have a personal relationship with God. That you can't get close to God. That it's just an impossibility. Far too many people, to them, God is distant. He's a long way away. He's unapproachable. He sits up somewhere in the sky and He just looks down on us and He does not interact with us in any way. The Greeks used to think that. The Greek philosophers, last Wednesday night I was teaching about this, and I want to show you this comment that was made. It's an insult to God to involve Him in human affairs. That's what they thought. That was their wisdom. It is an insult to God to involve Him in human affairs. But here's what I want to tell you. God came down to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. You and I know that this is not the truth because the Bible teaches us or that it is the truth. It's not the truth about what the philosophers say, because the truth of the matter is that when the fullness of time had come, who came? Jesus came. So if God is untouchable and He's distant and He doesn't want anything to do with His creation, let me ask you something. Why did He come? Why did He come? Why did He come to this earth? Why did He go through everything He went through here on the face of this earth if He did not care? He came to live among the people. He came to minister to the people. He came to eventually die so that the people could be saved. And so the very thought that God would leave heaven and take on human flesh in order to save the world He created should bring great joy into our lives. Now, some of you, if you have joy this morning, you need to let your face know it right now. That's better. That's better. You need to reflect that joy that you have. I read about a young boy who went to spend the week with his grandfather on the farm. And while walking around, he noticed the chickens, and they were scratching and they were playing around. They were doing whatever chickens do. And the little lad looked at them and said, "They ain't got it." And next he saw a little colt in the field playing and kicking up its heels. And about the colt, he said, "He ain't got it." Well, after examining all the animals on his grandfather's farm and seeing that none of them had it, this boy finally found the old donkey in the barn. And when he saw the donkey's long, frowning face and the way that the donkey just stood there, and he screamed for his grandfather to come quick, come quick. He's got it. He's got it. When his grandfather asked, well, who's got it? He said, Paw, I found an animal that has the same kind of religion you have. Well, I hope you don't have that old down in the mouth, bless me if you can, religion. Because if you do, guess what? You need to lose your religion. You need to lose your religion if you have that kind. If you do not, enter into a relationship with Christ, and you have not entered into a relationship with Christ that has put a smile on your face and a song on your lip and a hope in your heart, then you need to re-examine that relationship. Now here's why you can do it. Here's why you can be full of joy. John tells us that he and others had seen Jesus. They had seen him. They had been with him. They had seen him with their own eyes. They had heard him with their own ears. They had touched him with their own hands. And John says that God revealed himself to the world through Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, in John's gospel, he wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth." John chapter 1, verse 14. So John is saying, and I want you to get this, John is saying that God took all the guessing out of a relationship with God when he came. No more prophets to tell what was to come, just Jesus, the one who has come and who is coming again. John said, I've seen him, and he tells us, you're going to see him too. And if I don't put joy in your heart, I don't know what does, the thought of seeing Jesus. And so I want to ask you, do you know him this morning? If you do, it should be the source of great joy that you need. And every day, regardless of which window of life that you're looking out of, because he is God of both sides. He knows both situations, no matter what it is, no matter how bright things are in your life, no matter how dark things might be in your life. He knows all about that. And so because of our relationship with him, we can have joy even in the darkest of times. But there's a second thing, and that is that God intends for this message to be shared so that others might enter into godly fellowship, not only with God, but also with each other. Verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And then listen to this. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So John says that when you see Him, when you see Jesus, and you experience Jesus, that the natural and normal thing to do is to tell somebody else about him so that they too can enter into fellowship with him. In other words, it's up to us to share our joy, to share what's happened in our lives. Now, a lot of you may remember the name John Wooden. What a great basketball coach at UCLA he was for so many years. He was asked, what does it take to make a winning team? And this is what he said. Get players in the right condition, teach them the fundamentals, and teach them to play together as a team. Now, he must have known what he was talking about, because he had several years that he went where they never lost a basketball game. And he was a very intelligent, very smart basketball coach. But I want to tell you, those lessons, right condition, fundamentals, play together as a team, they were taught, those fundamentals were taught a long time ago in Scripture. And they are just as applicable today as when they were first taught. Because let me show you what they equate to out of Scripture. Salvation. Get people in the right condition. You can't serve God unless you're saved. You got to be in the right condition. And then discipleship. You have to learn the fundamentals. You have to learn the basics of the faith. And then fellowship. Are learning to play together as a team. Salvation, discipleship, fellowship. The message of Jesus gives people an opportunity to get right with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the message of Jesus gives people an opportunity to learn the basics of the faith through discipleship, or being trained and equipped in their faith. And the message of Jesus calls for people to do church together, to win or to lose as a team. Now, fellowship is the ultimate goal when it comes to our relationship with God. Fellowship with Him, not only with Him though, but with each other, with other people. If I were to ask you this morning, how many of you since you were saved have lived in perfect fellowship with the Father? I wonder how many hands would be raised. Matter of fact, let's just see. Zero. Imagine that. Nobody in here has lived in perfect fellowship with the Father since the day they were saved. You know why that is? All of us have a little bit of the prodigal son spirit residing in us. And sometimes our fellowship with God is not what it ought to be. I mean, that's just stark reality. Is that what God wants? No. But is that the way it is? Yes. Well, does that mean that that relationship can never be restored? Does it mean that God can never use me again? Well, ask the prodigal that question. Ask Simon Peter that question. Ask 1,000 others just like them that question. Can God use you again if you fall flat on your face? The answer is yes, if you get back into a right relationship with Him. If you get back into fellowship with Him and with each other. So you could ask the prodigal, you could ask Peter, you could ask 1,000 other people just like him. Or you could ask Robert Robinson. Anybody here know Robert Robinson? I think so. No, Robert Robinson, this is his story. He had been saved out of a tempestuous life of sin. And he made his profession of faith. Some of you may know this name. Many, many years ago, great preacher George Whitefield. And he was saved through George Whitefield's ministry in England. And shortly after that, at the age of 23, Robinson wrote a hymn. The name of the hymn is "Come Thy Fount of Every Blessing." Many of you have sung that hymn. Some for many years. "Come thy fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise." But you see, Robinson wandered far away from those streams of mercy. And like the prodigal son, he journeyed into the distant country of carnality, of worldliness. Until one day, he was traveling by stagecoach and sitting beside a young woman who was reading a book. And she ran across a verse she thought was beautiful, and she asked him what he thought about it. And the verse said, "Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love." If you know that hymn, you know that's part of that hymn. When he heard those words, the story goes that he burst into tears. And he said, I am the poor, unhappy man who wrote that hymn many years ago. And I would give 1,000 worlds if I had them to enjoy the feeling again that I had then. This young woman reassured him that the streams of mercy mentioned in his song still flowed. They still flowed. He was deeply touched, and turning his wandering heart to the Lord, he was restored to full fellowship. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Probably at one time or another in your life, that would be your testimony. Well, that has been your testimony. It may be your testimony right now. Because sometimes we wonder because we have all we have is religion and we don't have Christ. I want to tell you, religion will not stabilize you. Religion will not give you what you need. There's a ton of religions in this world, but there's only one Christ. There's only one Christ. Religion, your attempt to make yourself right with God, will eventually paralyze you spiritually because you seem to have no connection to God because you don't. So maybe somebody here today, the best thing that could happen to you is that you would lose your religion and you would begin a relationship with Almighty God. Here's the third thing. God gives us His Word in order to bring joyful fulfillment into our lives. He gives us His Word to bring joyful fulfillment into our lives. Verse 4, we write this to make our joy complete. Jesus said that He came so that we might have life and have it more what? Abundantly. Abundant life. This kind of life, this abundant life, brings fulfillment into our lives because it is the only thing that can fill the void that are ever present in our lives. So many people look to the wrong places and for the wrong things to bring true fulfillment into their lives. It is only God's Word that does that. It's only a relationship with Him that does that. The famous Lawrence of Arabia once visited London and brought along some of his desert-dwelling friends. They lived in the desert, that's all they knew. These men were impressed by the city and by all the modern conveniences that they were not used to, but they were impressed most of all by the water faucets in London. All one had to do to obtain fresh water was just turn a handle. And the naive visitors asked Lawrence an interesting yet very silly question. Would it be possible, they wondered, to take some of these water faucets back to the desert? Misguided, yes. Yet when people who are spiritually dead attempt to find joy and fulfillment in material pursuits, in pleasure-filled living or worldly success, they are doing the exact same thing. They are attempting to turn on a water tap to bring them joy when in reality there is no source of water to tap into. You go buy all the water faucets you want to at Lowe's, and if you don't hook them up, you're not going to get water out of them. You may buy the most expensive one they got. You're not going to get anything out of it. That'd be as silly as those guys taking it back to the desert saying, we got water. No, you don't have water. You don't have a source to hook this up to so that you can get water. You do not have water. You have something that looks like you could have water. You know what that is? Religion. Looks right, but it has no source. True joy and fulfillment are possible only after grounding one's life in the source of living water, and that's Jesus Christ. So are you full of joy? Some of you, in order to be full of joy, need to lose your religion. Because you got too much religion, not enough Jesus. I don't care how many churches you join. I don't care how many times you're baptized. If you don't know Jesus, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Because Jesus is the only one who can save you. Your church membership can't save you. Your baptism can't save you. Only Jesus can save you. You don't need religion. You need Jesus in your life. So, three things about joy. Joy is found only in Jesus. Joy is found when we share Jesus. And joy is found when we experience joy and understand the source of it. And that's Jesus as well. So, do you have religion or do you have Jesus? See, if you think you got religion, let me just pull over and park just a second. Okay? This is free. I'm just pulling over to the side a minute. But you know, you talk to some people and you say to them, "Are you saved? Do you know the Lord?" And they may say something to you like, "Well, I think I am." Or, "I remember my mama and daddy telling me about a decision I made years ago." I want to tell you something. If somebody has to tell you about a decision you made years ago that was supposed to change your life from top to bottom, you probably did not get it. And all you've got is religion. Because I want to tell you something. Religious folks go to church every Sunday. They do. But they don't get anything out of it. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't change their life. But I want to tell you something. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have a joy in your life that ought to be on your face. It ought to be on your lips. It ought to be in your heart. It ought to be being shared with other people. So I want to ask you, are you full of joy? Pray with me. Father in heaven, thank you for the joy that you've given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. There are perhaps some people here today who have religion but do not have Jesus. And I know that your word teaches that Jesus is the only way. There's not two ways to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. That's through Him. And I ask you right now for those who have come here and they would say, "Well, I'm a member of a church," or, "I remember years ago I did something, you know, and I think I was baptized, and so that makes me a Christian." Father, I really believe that far too many people in the church have religion instead of a relationship with Jesus. Because a relationship with Jesus continues to change us each and every day that we live. So maybe there's somebody here this morning who'd be willing to say, "I know, and I've known it for a while, that I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I have a religion. I have a relationship with the church and with church people, but I don't have a relationship with Jesus, and I know that I need to change that before it's too late." So maybe you just need to pray this prayer. You pray it silently to yourself. So I pray it out loud this morning. "Dear God, please forgive me of my sins. Please come into my life today and save me. Thank you for coming. Thank you for dying. Thank you for coming back to life. And thank you that you're coming again. I hope you prayed that prayer and I hope you meant it with all your heart, because you don't need more religion. You need more Jesus. And you can have Him this morning. Maybe there are others here today who need a church home. This is where you need to be. God's told you that. I need you to come. Do what God wants you to do. Maybe there's some here today who need to work on their relationship with God. You know it. He knows it. He's waiting on you. Whatever you need to do, I want you to come right now. Father, bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Just while our musicians are playing, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, somebody here God's speaking to, and you know it. I mean, your heart may be about pound out of your chest because of it. But that's the Holy Spirit at work. Somebody needs to be saved. Somebody needs to recommit their life to Jesus. Somebody needs to join the church. Whatever you need to do, I want to pray for you. I wonder if you'd just be willing to say, "Preacher, I do have one of those needs in my life, and God is dealing with me, and I need to take care of it. I need to get it right." Nobody's looking around. Nobody's going to come to you or embarrass you in any way. We wouldn't do that. But just by the uplifted hand, you'd say, "Pastor, would you pray for me today? Would you just put it right up and then right back down?" God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else today? Something I need to do for God that God's telling me to do. And I need to go ahead and do that. Anybody else before we pray? Lord, you've seen the hands and you know the hearts. And I just pray right now that you might deal with them in the only way that you can, causing them to do what you're asking them to do. And I just give you thanks right now. While you're praying, I'm going to ask Brother Dan to sing. While he's singing, I'm going to ask those of you to come who need to come right now, would you?
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise,
All right, thank you for coming this morning. Great group and great spirit. I'm thankful to the Lord for that. If you're a guest this morning, we want you to stop by our welcome center on your way out. It's located in the foyer room on the right. There'll be somebody there to speak to you and give you some information on the church, answer any questions that you might have. So just drop by and visit with us just for a moment. We'd appreciate that very much. Remember, activities this afternoon, and then tonight we'll begin the new series out of the book of Revelation. So I hope you'll come and be with us for that time as well. And what's this? Okay, yes, there's a youth parents meeting today, right after church, for grades 7 through 12. Youth parents meeting. Okay. All right, Joe Clayton, I think, has got the prayer this morning. Is that right? Okay. Come on, Joe.
Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this wonderful sermon that helped show the difference and speak of the difference between happiness and joy. There's just so many of us, including me, myself, that sometimes just says, "Lord, I know I'm Christian, but why aren't I happier?" And for the explanation that happiness and joy come from two different sources, that happiness has a root in circumstances, and joy is found in the relationship and a fellowship with Jesus. And we're taught as Christians to live on top of circumstances and not under them. And that we just, through a fellowship, can just have a joy that'll never leave us, no matter what the circumstances. And Father, for those who have a religion like that old mule's face, Father, we all do sometimes, and I just pray that, starting with myself, that we learn that the religion we want is the fellowship that comes through a walk every day with Jesus. Father, I lift you up. I lift up this church. I lift up the ministers in this church, Father, that they be who you want them to be, and to seek you and to desire you like you want them to. Father, we love you, and we ask you to help us walk forward into this week and into this new year. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.